Lights. Camera. Action. It's the KSL Movie Show.
It gave the audience feelings they weren't sure they should enjoy.
The week's big movie review, movie news, games, and prizes. Here's Andy Farnsworth and Steve Sales.
Like a slice of butter melting on top of a big old pile of flapjacks.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Good morning. Welcome to the Movie Show 2.0, because it's the second week. See, Steve and Ann.
Oh, I see what you're doing there. Okay.
We're excited to be here today, and we are at I'm not sure we could ever do the movie show from a nicer place than we're sitting right now, Steve.
Oh, my goodness. I'm home. I don't know if Chris,
you'll have to talk to Chris,
know if
to see
Chris
if
knows
let you
this,
move
but
in,
I'm home.
I think they had one extra bedroom, Steve.
There's one for the two daughters and one,
then one for you.
I'll even sleep under the bar bills.
Well, we are coming to you from the Northern Wasatch Parade of Homes, and we are at a home that's officially called The Summit in North Ogden, and it is gorgeous. It's set on the mountainside, so up that north mountain, northeast mountain face that separates Brigham City from Ogden. And the view out the backyard, just amazing.
That's
and we're
ridiculous.
In what's called the man cave, but it could also double as a – you could start a repair business in here. There's cars on a lift. We've got tool
sheds. I'm thinking dance hall.
A dance hall. You could hold a youth dance in here easily with no problem. And the DJ would be up above the group dancing down on the floor.
Oh, yeah. You could put him up there where the Bronco is.
Exactly. So – We'll be talking with Chris Olson, the parade builder and owner of CF Olson Homes, and actually the owner of this particular home. We'll be talking with Ben Hubbard, who's the parade chairman for the Parade of Homes, and the chairman of the sales manager for Coldwater Stone Design. We'll be talking to them this hour and through the next 3 hours of the movie show. But, Steve, we're also going to talk movies.
What?
On the movie show.
That sounds so interesting.
And there may not be a bigger movie this summer than the one we're going to talk about today.
Or maybe this year.
I mean, last year, the Tom Cruise movie ended up carrying the year. This year, who knows? It just might do it again.
Magic Tom. The dude. He's unstoppable.
I hear people that say, I don't like Tom Cruise, and I think, okay.
Well, you picked the wrong time to not like him.
Right. All right, so let's do the movie show preview sponsored by Call Climate Services.
The following preview has been rated G and is appropriate for all audiences. The Movie Show, special feature.
Well, the big movie, of course, opened on Wednesday, so we've actually had a couple of days to see how it does at the box office. There were preview shows, though, basically the entire weekend. I had people come in on Monday. Oh, I saw it over the weekend, and I thought...
You mean Amanda?
I had Amanda, but she wasn't the only one.
Oh, she was? Oh.
She couldn't have... Did she buy the whole theaters? There had to have been other people that were at the same screening
as
Amanda.
I doubt it. I think that was just
It was
her.
Just Amanda. Oh, I can believe that. She does kind of have that clout. But Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning, Part 1... The movie title alone takes half the runtime of the movie, just to say it, because it's so long. I mean, typing it out for TV and stuff.
You ought to be a slow talker.
It's going to take up the whole
dude,
screen.
Dude, it's 2 hours and 47 minutes.
2 hours, 47 minutes. We will get into all of that, because even though that time sounds daunting, it doesn't feel like 2 hours and 47 minutes.
Well, get ready for Oppenheimer.
The Batman felt like 2 hours and 47 minutes last year.
That's true.
Oppenheimer, isn't that pushing 3 hours?
It's three, exactly.
All right, Christopher Three. Nolan.
So those Excess are doing much? The Barbie, the Barbenheimer?
Barbenheimer. We'll talk about that,
okay,
too.
Okay, yeah.
So we've got lots on the movie show today. Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning. What other movies do we have, Steve?
Ooh, I don't know. Let's see. We have... I can't
read Oh, you
read
can't
that.
Read that far? How about this? The Miracle Club?
The Miracle Club, yes. Cute movie. Had a little darkness to it, but actually I thought it was pretty good.
Bird Box Barcelona?
Yeah, if you like the Bird Box with Sandra Bullock... Now they've gone to Barcelona.
Barcelona. Yeah, you got to say it that
Barcelona,
way.
Barcelona. And it is equally riveting, I think.
All right. Then Grey Matter.
Grey Matter. Yeah, I watched that last night. That's a pretty good little movie.
On Max, we'll talk about that. And then Jewel Thief, that's one you didn't see, but I was just finishing up prior to the movie show.
That's because I was watching Unknown Killer Robots, Jury Duty, Full Circle, After Party Season 2. I think my dance card for the week was pretty much full at that point.
Yeah, it's the summer and a lot of stuff's coming out, which is kind of funny because content, it sounds like, could start to trickle and dry up a little bit later this year. So this deluge of stuff we have right this second may be maybe the studios want to maybe keep some of that in their pocket.
Wait till you see what Bob Iger about this whole thing.
And as you've been hearing on KSL News Radio all morning, the Screen Actors Guild has now joined the Writers Guild on the picket line on strike in Hollywood. So what effect will that have? What do the two sides want? What does the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Productions, AMPTP,
right?
What do they want? They're the ones who are negotiating with the guilds.
Right.
And what do they want and what do the guilds want? I'm sure everyone has an opinion one way or the other. Most of the sound bites are pretty generic. Oh, they're trying to ruin us. Oh, we can't afford you. And it's the same kind of stuff. So we're going to hopefully get a little bit underneath
the hypocrisy,
that.
Though, from who are saying that they're being unrealistic. We can't afford that.
Well, Steve is going to take the studio side. I'm going to take the guild side as we just try to explain.
Well, that makes me Darth Vader.
No. You're just going to represent their point of view. If people are angry at you, we'll just have to remind them, don't shoot the messenger or Darth Vader. Darth Vader. Han tried, but, you know, you'll block it with your hand.
Sure, that works.
We're also going to talk. We're going to, of course, have telephone torture. This week's theme, thanks to Tom Cruise, is going to be Mission Impossible. So all of our questions will be about one of the Mission Impossible movies. I think it's going
to
be fun. The
and
final
you have to guess which
always,
one.
And you have to guess which one. There are seven to choose from. I'll save you some trouble right now.
It's not the
it
last
is not
one.
The current one that we're going to be talking about today, because not enough of you have seen it for that to be. That would be a cheat if I did number seven.
Practically giving it away now.
So now you have six chances, and you have six clues in which to get the answer right.
Oh,
and each clue
Doug would be
will
so happy
hopefully
right now.
Give you a chance. And I trust me, you're going to love the last question. Because remember, we always have to have an idiot-proof question.
Yeah, but
a loser-proof question.
Or some other word that doesn't sound so mean.
We have an easy question that you really should get it.
There it is.
See, that feels like too wordy. That's too wordy. Well. We're going to talk about the big streaming release of the week. We've got, we've got the movie show Top 10, in which we will feature our first listener
review
of a movie. This is something that we want to incorporate on the movie show. And we will have, instead of the worst thing I watched this week, Steve...
Yeah.
We have a special little treat today on the movie show. What's that I hear?
What?
Who's that I hear? Is that the Beach Boys singing about Salt Lake City?
You just woke up half of Salt Lake. The ones that were like, what? What did he just say? I think that's the Beach Boys.
Well, we have an interview with Mike Love of the Beach Boys.
What?
Who is in town as part of the Deer Valley Music Festival up in Park City. And he graciously did an interview with me. We're going to play some snippets from that, and we'll give you a chance to go to the movie show podcast page and listen to the entire interview later. But we'll get a chance to hear from Mike Love, and he was a great interview. He's still got it. He's 82 years old, but he's still an incredibly engaging guy.
Boy, the Beach Boys, that sounds funny now.
So all that and a lot of movie talk, today's movie show.
Yep.
And now, the big movie review. Andy and Steve have everything your family needs to know about the biggest release of the week.
And what is the biggest release of the week, Steve?
No, that's the wrong song. Mission Impossible.
Dun, 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 dun,
Dead
dun.
Reckoning, part one.
Da-da.
And by the way, don't worry about it being part one. Like, oh no, I have to wait.
Okay, so this is not a surprise part one like it turned out Across the Spider-Verse was.
Right.
We weren't expecting to be continued at the end of
Across
Spider-Verse.
That's true.
They make it very clear at the beginning of the movie when part one shows up in the title.
And it ends at a good place.
Right.
Like you're going, okay, that's like a good chapter to stop. Now we know that there's some really crazy stuff coming after that.
All right, let's get the hype train going with a clip from Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1.
It's been a long time, Fran. You've no idea the power I represent. It knows your story and how it ends.
Listen to me. The world's coming after you.
His fate is written. Shall we write yours, too?
If anything happens to them, there's no place that I won't go to kill you. That is written.
Ooh, getting the goosebumps. Just listen to that.
Steve. Issa Morales, by the way, was not supposed to be the lead. He was not supposed to take this part.
Really?
Nicholas Holt was the original choice to play Gabriel. Isn't that Gabriel?
Gabriel, character? I believe, yes.
But he was tied up with period piece that he, not the glory, but.
The work?
No. It's the one where he's in, not medieval, but it's a Tudor family, or, you know, as it anyway, The Crown, no, The Glory.
The Great?
The Great.
The one, oh, the Hulu That's series. Okay, I was thinking a movie, and
the
you
great.
Were describing the series.
Oh, yeah, he was tied up with that, so he couldn't come do this, so they got Itzai Morales.
But Itzai Morales works great.
I think so, too.
I mean, I remember him from La Bamba back in the 80s, where he played Richie Valens' brother.
Well, that's why I thought it's kind of odd that he would kind of resurrect his career this way, because I haven't seen him in much other than some TV shows.
And here he is. He plays Gabriel. I don't want to give away too much, but he
seems to be the taskmaster.
He's sort of like the human avatar for the big bad of the movie, which is an artificial intelligence. So
called the Entity.
Called the Entity. Now, to set the table for you without giving away too much, Ethan and his team, we get Luther back, Benji back, Ilsa's back.
Yeah.
We get to add this time Haley Atwell, who plays
she's amazing.
An amazing thief. And then, as I recall, you were telling me, because you saw it before I did, and then you said, Pom Clementif was in this. I didn't even recognize her till halfway through the movie.
I didn't even know that was her name, but yeah, she's the Mantis.
She plays Mantis in Guardians of the Galaxy,
yeah.
So she
Although
does not
she
have
looks
the
so
antenna.
Different.
Very much different. She looks like she's right out of the Suicide Squad, the Japanese girl
with
the soul sword.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what she looked like through part of the movie. So Ethan and his team essentially have to prevent the AI, which seems to know every move, and that because it's so powerful, every government on Earth is after it.
Or scared to death
of it. And in that case, then they're after it just so that they won't let their enemies get their hands on it.
It always seems funny that they always say, we don't want it to fall in the wrong hands, but we'll take it.
And we'll probably be the wrong hands
exactly.
ourselves.
Exactly.
And let's just say, Mission Impossible is great with the feints, with the who is who and when are they who. And, you know, I don't want to give away too much more than that. I will say, I had some friends that didn't like the overuse of the mask gimmick that they used in previous Mission Impossibles.
Oh, yeah.
They do not overuse it in this movie.
Nope.
But they have a different thing, and it's awesome.
Yeah, no, it's very cool. I think that I just loved this movie. I was just coming out of not the sadness of seeing Indiana Jones, but just knowing what that could have been and then seeing what Tom Cruise has done with this movie is just unbelievable.
For me, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, as they've gone on, they seem to be getting better. Like Fallout was
amazing.
Incredible. This might, it's really close, but they're really excellent movies.
I was saying, I don't want to call it recency bias, because I'm sure there's a little bit of that, but I kind of thought the same thing, as great as I thought Fallout was. And when Fallout came out, I said, Mission Impossible has eclipsed James Bond as the best spy movie series going.
Yeah.
James Bond got a little bit of its mojo back, I thought, with No Time to Die. But this is just, it's next level. I mean, everybody's seen the big jump off the cliff stunt.
Which is almost passé now because you've seen it 1,000 times.
Right, and I will say I almost wish they hadn't showed us that, because think of how that would have been in IMAX when you saw him jump off the cliff and you didn't know that was coming.
I just think about those poor motorcycles. There were 7 of them that lost their lives.
7 motorcycles gave their lives for Tom Cruise.
Did that stunt 7 times. He's like, I think I can wait a little longer to open my chute or let go of the bike a little sooner or later. Like, what?
Meanwhile, the insurance adjusters are on scene, like, sweating. And
yeah. Well, the train scenes are unbelievable. And they actually tried to go out and buy a train, and nobody, knowing what they were planning on doing with the train, said no. So they had to build their own train and the train cars. This is a 290.
You'll understand after the movie why train people were a little reluctant.
Yeah, I can see. Like, you're going to do what with it? I don't want that.
For me, I thought that because you're right. It's hard not to draw a direct comparison to Indiana Jones. A lot of people who want to see Mission Impossible also wanted to see Indiana Jones. My older brother loved Indiana Jones. He's I could watch Indy sit and write his memoirs for 4 hours. That's how much he loved
Indiana
Jones.
Read a phone book, yeah.
But for me, I think the biggest difference between this and Indiana Jones was in Dial of Destiny, I only knew going into the movie and really cared about 2 characters, Sala and Indy. Everybody else was a new introduction, you know, and they were great.
Yeah.
But coming into Mission Impossible, there was 5, 6, 7 characters that I already was emotionally invested in from other movies.
Right.
Especially, I love Rebecca Ferguson as Ilsa Faust.
Jesus.
I just love her.
And I have a little trivia story about her.
Really?
Yeah.
But anyway, just to finish the thought, I cared about more characters, so as things were happening, I was more invested throughout the film in everybody. Instead of trying to get to know them so that I could be invested in them, I was invested in them immediately.
And even some characters that we haven't seen since the original one. That Henry Sisnick, or whatever his name is.
Cizerny,
yeah, he shows
Kittredge.
And he's even more
Kittredge's voice is in the trailer, so that's not too much of a spoiler.
That's true. except that he's like, no, he's always like, this is a job, but you should never take it. It's going to be the worst thing that ever happened to you.
This is your mission, should you choose to accept it, but please don't accept it.
But I like that, like the fight in the little narrow alleyway. That was so cool.
Yep.
I mean, there's just, and chase scenes in Venice, where does that, you know, how does that happen? It's just, it's brilliant. This is.
Is this an A for you?
It is.
An A.
A rare. I mean, I think I've maybe two or maybe two movies so far this year other than this.
I walked out thinking 3.5, and then the more I thought about it afterwards, I bumped it up to a 4 out of 4 stars. So,
yeah.
Highest recommendations from the both of us?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to be hyperbolic here, but if you don't go see this movie on a big screen, the biggest screen you can find, you are making a huge mistake.
That's Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1, rated
PG-13.
PG-13, and it is playing only in
everywhere.
Theaters, and it is playing everywhere.
It's the KSL Movie Show.
It's going to work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The week's big movie review, movie news, games, and prizes. Here's Andy Farnsworth and Steve Sales.
We're slow learners. We're not particularly good listeners.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
That movie clip always reminds me of the "We may not be able to jump very high, but at least we're slow."
or in the movie, The Way of the Gun, he goes, who's the head of this operation? It's pretty much a no-brains operation.
Well, this is Andy Farnsworth and Steve Sales. This is the movie show. It's the end of the week. It's time to kick back, relax, have some fun, talk movies. We are coming to you today from the Northern Wasatch Parade of Homes. We are at a home in North Ogden called The Summit, and in just a few minutes, we'll actually talk with the guy who built this home and who owns it and who is responsible for all this gorgeousness. If you're with us on the webcam, you can already see some of his Jordan collection behind us, which is super cool. Gustavo noticed that immediately, by the way. Our producer.
We'll guard him. Don't worry.
We'll talk about the Northern Wasatch Parade of Homes, some of the beautiful homes that you'll get to see. But, Steve, we made a mistake. The movie show preview, which we did already, was actually sponsored by our friends on the Joshua Stern team. We wanted to make sure they got the proper credit.
Oh, that's a new client.
It is. And if they're willing to take a chance on the movie show, then by golly, we're going to make sure that you hear about.
Yeah, I want to meet him. Bring him in here.
Okay, so first of all, before we get into our next movie review, we would like you to join the KSL Movie Club. What you need to do is text the word movie to 57500, and that'll make you part of the club. You'll receive text messages alerting you to the time we're on the air, 9 to noon, plus contests, plus we've done movie show screenings. This is how you become part of the movie show
and
club.
We love the screenings because we meet so many cool people.
And they really are cool. And they have been listeners for a long time. They've got people with original movie show t-shirts that come. And
I use mine to wash my car.
And the best part is, it's a free movie. It's a free movie. We don't have one right now, so don't get too excited. But we also would love any of your comments on the movie show, 57500. You don't have to text the word movie. Just text us your thoughts on something, whatever it may be.
35 seconds.
Well, that'll be we'll get to that. That's when you'll call in and do the review. This is just people who can text in during the movie show to let us know. Hey, if you've already seen Mission Impossible, give us a sentence, what you thought.
Yeah,
should
people
go see it? Tell us your name and where you're from, and maybe we'll read it on the air. So, Steve.
Yes.
We've got two more movies to talk about in this segment. So let's start with, how about, where did it go? There it is, The Miracle Club.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
If you go out that door, don't even bother coming back.
Miracles happen there. He could speak.
How are you, Chrissy?
My mother is dead. I'm in a place I swore I would never come back to.
Hi. I wouldn't have recognized you.
40 years would do that to you.
I'd say, yeah, mixed.
Yes, but it's great to have her back.
Marvelous. Bloody marvelous.
Okay, we're going to Dublin, 1967.
All those accents sounded incredibly authentic.
Except for Kathy Bates. She struggled. But look at the cast. Maggie Smith, Kathy Bates. We got Laura Linney. We've got there's somebody else.
I tell you what,
Stephen Ray.
The young girl who you heard for a second, and her name is in the movie. Her name is Dolly, but she's played by Agnes Ocasio, a girl I'd never seen before. She's the mother of the little girl.
Yeah.
A little boy too. A little boy. That's right. They had a little girl at home.
Right. That's right.
The baby that the husband has to stay behind and take care of.
Kathy Bates, her character, were they raising a bunch of kids?
So, yeah, it sounded like Kathy Bates had some of her kids and grandkids living with her.
Okay, that makes sense.
That was the way I understood. Because at first I thought the same thing. Does Kathy Bates really have
all these
little
kids?
Kid?
No, there's no way.
I mean, you know, it's Ireland, 1960s.
Yeah, so something So they were very close early on, and something happened to somebody in this within this family, and something happened to somebody else, and so the young woman was sent away.
That's Laura Linney's character.
She was sent to the States, and you know, everybody, it was weird because like they kind of turned on her, like, you haven't been back in 30, 40 years, and now it's her mother's funeral, and so it's like everybody's getting back together and sort of trying to deal with, you know, do we, you know, are we going to respond or forgive or whatever. I mean, they completely blew her off for a while.
I almost had to map it out because you've got Laura Linney is cousins with Kathy Bates, and then Maggie Smith is their mother's friend.
Best friend.
Yes. So once I figured that out, it made a lot more sense.
And it made it look like Kathy Bates and Laura Linney were like best friends.
Yes, they were.
And
they were cousins.
The age difference is kind of staggering.
But I actually don't know if they're that much different. Laura Linney's? Hey.
So it's a cute, it's a sweet movie. It gets to a part that they get into some darkness that might be a little uncomfortable, but then it comes back around. I thought it actually, Maggie Smith, I mean, the whole idea is they're trying to win a trip to Lourdes, the place where...
In France.
Yeah, where the miracle happened. And what was funny was like, so that happened like in 1858 or something like that.
Right.
And they said, so how many miracles? And they said, well...
Don't give that away.
No?
Because that's kind of the fun.
Oh, okay.
I thought that was kind of the fun part is
I thought there would be a lot more than what there were.
Exactly. That was the same exact problem. So what? How did you feel? Do you want me to tell me what I thought? Or do you?
Well, I just – I thought it got a little uncomfortable there for a minute, and then it kind of righted the ship, and there were a lot of redemption and a lot of forgiveness. I thought it was a very sweet film.
I agree. It's one of those that – these are the type of films I feel like there's not as many of anymore. And that people feel like, oh, I'll just watch these at home. But these are worth going into the theaters and supporting so that more movies like this get made. It's the people who love PBS shows. I think this is kind of be like a catnip call with those actresses in it. I love
this.
It's
is purely
a
Doug and Dee movie, by the way. Oh. They're going to just go nuts.
See, there
film.
You go. And then I'm sure that Doug is listening right now.
Well,
or maybe Dee
somebody
is.
Call him, let him know.
But I thought it was really good. There's a lot about redemption, people seeking miracles. And the question was, do miracles cause faith, or do they only help if you have a faith that the miracle can strengthen? Yeah. And the questions that I thought that went through were questions that were worth considering. I really liked it. It's slow. It's character. There's moments that are funny. There's moments that are sweet. There is a dark turn. I was like, oh, okay. But like you said, they brought it back. So for me, this was an easy 3 out of 4 star movie.
Yeah, this would be for me. And Maggie Smith is not only a treasure, she is fearless. At her age, to do what she did in this movie, extraordinary.
All right. So that was The Miracle Club, rated PG-13 and playing in theaters.
The Movie Show. It is not a donut hole, but a smaller donut with its own hole. And our donut is not a hole at all. On KSL News Radio.
Are we live?
We are now.
See, I'm an inexperienced guy. Wasn't even sure of that. I should have guessed from the psycho sounding music that we were back.
Yeah, it's our theme song.
We're at the Northern Wasatch Parade of Homes today on the Movie Show at a beautiful home called The Summit. We'll be talking with Ben Hubbard, the parade chairman, here in just a little bit. But Steve, let's have some movie news.
Okay. Are we going to do the strike stuff? Or?
Yeah, that is the movie
news. Oh, okay. Perfect.
Not just any news.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
Movie news. On the KSL Movie Show.
And I believe Movie News is sponsored by Paris RV.
Mm. Oh.
Awesome. See?
I didn't know that.
Evolution of a show host here. Okay, so look, we've been talking about it all morning on KSL News Radio. It's almost the big headline of the entire country. The Screen Actors Guild has gone on strike and joined the Writers Guild of America as striking against the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers.
Wow.
It's a mouthful, but essentially work has stopped on any scripted project, and now work has stopped on any non-independent. I mean, there's certain independent films that actors can still participate in. I was reading through some of the things.
But they can't promote a movie.
But
that
they can't do that either. Right. So let's the quick rundown. They're on strike. What it could theoretically mean is that movies dry up. Just from the writer's strike, production has stopped on several TV shows. Andor has stopped. One I'm disappointed to hear, Cobra Kai. That means it's not going to hit its September release date. I love Cobra Kai. But this could become, depending on how long the strike lasts, and there's various things about this, It could affect towards the end of the year. We may see some of the movies we were thinking we were going to get at Christmas get moved off their release dates and pushed back into next year so that the studios have something. Because remember, it's not just end the strike and immediately everything goes back to normal. They still got to make all those movies that they stopped making.
Well, just consider the movie we just talked about, the Tom Cruise movie. They started that movie when COVID started. Mm. So that's, I mean, that's unbelievable. I mean, you think that's 3 years ago, and they were just getting ramped up and started production, and they had to shut down.
And what now what we've got is, so we've got a stoppage of everything. What we wanted to do is give you a little bit of an idea of what the two sides are going for. So, Steve, what is the studio arguing in this?
Well, for some reason, Disney CEO Bob Iger stepped out of their little enclave that they're having up at Sun Valley. All the big kids are up there, including, let's see, the head of Meta, Warner Brothers, Paramount, Google, Apple, Microsoft, and, of course, Disney, Bob Iger. And he said, there is a level of expectation that they have that is just not realistic.
So this is the studio's position, is that the demands of the writers and actors is not realistic.
And he says, it's very disturbing to me.
He said over his tea, which had gone cold because he had to spend so much time talking about this.
Well, here's the irony here. He just signed a new contract. 2 years.
And but probably only for about $40,000 because he's trying to save the studio money.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Except that the contract is for $54 million for the 2 years with a bonus incentive, performance bonus, of $62 million if he hits his target quotas, which I'm thinking might be difficult if no one's making any movies.
Yeah, it depends on what the target is. If the target is to break the unions, then maybe he'll hit his bonus.
Well, but there's no way they're going to do that.
Steve, you're supposed to be arguing for the studios. You sound against them.
Well, I am against them. I'm not against them. I just think they need to be realistic. I mean, there are Disney Park employees that are sleeping in their cars, and they're on food stamps. I mean, where's the equity here? That's ridiculous.
Well, and that is part of it. You know, there's a lot of arguments about the people at the top, and then there's what they call below-the-line workers. So these are people who go further down the list, because when production stops, it's not just the actors who stop working. It's not just the writers, but you've got makeup artists. You've got, prop artists. You got everything. Everybody who, you know, depends. For a lot of them, this is a gig economy. You only get paid when you work jobs, and when there are no jobs, suddenly you're out of luck. So. Yeah. My understanding, Steve, is that the final proposal, this was how the final proposal was received. The president of SAG is Fran Drescher, if you recall from The Nanny. She's in charge of that now.
Right.
And we have a soundbite of her reaction to the final proposal by the studios.
Oh, boy.
If we don't stand tall right now, we are all going to be in trouble. We are all going to be in jeopardy of being replaced by machines.
Right, and that's what she said after the strike began. But what she said in the moment that they made the final offer. That was her laugh from The Nanny. Sorry, it worked a lot better when I was planning it out. Didn't execute.
Here's the key points. Streaming. They want more compensation for streaming. And they want safeguards from AI technology. That's pretty much it. And maybe a little bit more health care and blah, 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 and maybe more pay. But if you don't make these adjustments, you know, and they said they couldn't have picked a worse time. And they're probably right. But
right, they're just trying to get back from COVID, but here's where they are.
The contracts have ended.
It's the KSL Movie Show.
That gave the audience feelings they weren't sure they should enjoy.
The week's big movie review, movie news, games, and prizes. Here's Andy Farnsworth and Steve Sales.
Like a slice of butter melting on top of a big old pile of flapjacks.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome to the movie show, second hour. We are coming to you from the Northern Wasatch Parade of Homes, a gorgeous, was it 6,000 square foot? 7,000 square foot home in North Ogden that you can come through and take a look at. We are in the man cave/garage. And
new apartment.
I was going to say, this would be a spacious apartment, even if you just lived in the garage, with its own, by the way, glass door that you can come through without having to open the whole garage door. So you can see this in 15 other homes, stunning homes along in Box Elder, Weber, and Davis counties as part of the Northern Wasatch Parade of Homes. But here in the 10 o'clock hour, we're pleased to welcome back the director of the Utah Film Commission, Virginia Pierce, who was pleased to find out last time she was here that the movie show would go on. And so here you are.
I think
you
we made threatened the drive. And bribed.
You made the drive to North Ogden. And, Virginia, perfect timing to join us because just before the break, we were talking about the Writers Guild and the Screen Actors Guild strike and the effect that it's having on Hollywood. I mean, it's a big enough thing that, national agencies, news agencies are leading with it. But it's perfect to have you here right now because you can talk to us about what the local impact is, because and Utah's getting going. Utah's taking off. Utah's becoming the place. And now all of a sudden, I wish we had a sound effect for brakes screeching, but that's what it feels like is about to happen.
Yeah, it's definitely going to have an effect on us. Summer is typically our busiest production time, and this year was shaping up to be no exception. We have a dozen projects that were slated to begin in July. July and August, and at this point, most of those will be on hold. So it represents about $64 million of economic impact and about 3,000 jobs. So,
and what kind of jobs? Because this is the thing. You know, when you hear about the guild, you hear about the writers and you hear about the actors because they're the ones that are striking. But we said it in our last segment, there's the below-the-line workers.
Yeah, I mean,
of the 64,000 jobs, how many are actual actors? Like,
across the country, there's, 160,000 SAG
well,
members?
I just meant, like, you,
60. And locally, well, really how it affects local is because some of those SAG actors come in from out of state, but they come in for the production. So those productions have crews from anywhere, from 100 to 400 people on those crews, and that's hairdressers and set decorators and, security, transportation, and
not
camera
to mention
operators,
restaurants,
caterers,
and
hotels. It's everyone that is involved in a film production that will be affected because those productions cannot start without their actors and writers in many cases.
So let me ask you this. Now that the actors are involved, I know the writers have been on strike for 70 days, mm-hmm. something like that. Does it make it more urgent that they come up with a deal now that the actors are also going?
That's what I'm hoping. I mean, I think it brings a little kind of a renewed emphasis and attention on the strike. And I think, there were some productions that could continue on because they were done writing. But without actors, you can't do much. And I think the Directors Guild, I saw that they have come in solidarity with the actors and kind of said, it's time to have these conversations, which it probably is. There's the world has changed since the last time they all went on strike, and the streaming is complicated.
Yeah.
So I hope that they can get to the table, though, quickly.
It sounds like they're kind of far apart, though, so far, what I
know.
Hear.
Well, you mentioned $64 million in estimated revenue to the state. Does that immediately go to zero right now, then?
Well, yeah. I mean, right now, everything. So there's just one production that's shooting right now that would be affected, and that's The Chosen. And they have a couple more weeks.
And they just got picked up by the CW.
They're working on a waiver. So I don't know if you've heard or talked about that there's these waivers that they're trying to work on for productions that are independently produced. And so that would mean that some of the smaller local productions that were slated to begin hopefully will still be able to move forward because they're not a part of the streaming. They don't have a streaming deal.
And also overseas, if you're working on an overseas project and you're not part of SAG or
I think that is
because somebody just went back into production today, but they're like filming in Prague or something.
But if you are a member of the union, which most big productions that have name actors,
they're all
a part of SAG. Okay. I don't know. You probably saw the Oppenheimer cast
left the
premiere.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of other, there also is if you kind of, quote unquote, cross the picket lines to work on a production, you're not a member of SAG, that may influence the ability for you to get in the union later. So it's complicated, and I think actors are also saying, look, everyone needs to be on the same team for the, you know, for the foreseeable future until they can figure out how to make a deal. It's just, it's interesting to me because I think this is one of the industries that really is affected by unions, and they've been around for so long. It still feels like kind of an old world issue, you know, oh, the unions are striking. I feel like we're back in 1950, but you know, it's important.
Well, Gunsmoke was the lead TV show
the last time both
groups went. Yeah. On strike.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Now, one of the things, the comic convention that shall not be named here in Utah is going to suffer the most from this strike because most of what they do is tied with studios and promoting upcoming projects. But we have FanX in September, but is that going to affect FanX and some of the celebrity guests that have already agreed to come? Are they still allowed to come? What can they do once they do? If they're allowed to come, what can they do once they're here?
I saw Dan made a comment that it seemed like a lot of the celebrities that were coming to FanX weren't promoting upcoming projects. So I think that's where the line gets a little bit gray, because I was reading the SAG strike rules this morning, and you can't be on a podcast, you can't do voiceover, you can't, you know, do any kind of promotion, you can't be in social media promoting anything. But I don't know about past projects. So if you're on a show like this, just talking about your work as an actor, I don't know if that affects, or if it's really just about promoting these projects that are about to come out.
Because for as somebody who goes to FanX, part of the deal of FanX, you know, originally I thought you paid to go to FanX and then you had to pay to all the vendors and do everything else. But one of the big value parts of the ticket to FanX is to be able to go to attend the celebrity panels as part of your entrance. And so if they're allowed to come and sign autographs and, you know, do that, they charge for that, but they're not allowed to do a panel, that diminishes the value of the FanX ticket. And so that's why I know I was watching the FanX forums that I'm part of, and that's the big nervous part. I mean, people are like, I'm coming from Canada.
I think he did make a statement yesterday, so I can't remember.
That they can still
exactly
do their panels and stuff?
Yeah, because I don't, again, I think, and it's been a while since I've been, but it seems like it's really more about, you know, an actor who's just celebrating their roles in the past and not necessarily.
That is typically what the panels are. I've moderated some, and it's.
Yeah.
They usually don't. Yeah.
Well, I have a question. You said Kevin's production is done, so they finished their second year of.
Yep. So Kevin Costner's project is wrapped in end of June.
So he can focus on some other things.
I mean.
Poor guy.
No, he's, I'm sure, you know, taking a break, which is good. He's been working nonstop forever. But it's good. I mean, there isn't a ton. And I think, obviously, there was talk of this happening and it was supposed to maybe happen at the end of June. And then they pushed it. And so I think everyone's been preparing. And a lot of productions really tried to get going and so they could finish before this. So.
And I saw some of the SAG people were saying they extended it just so they could have two more weeks to promote their summer movie slate, and that they felt like it was kind of a disingenuous extension by the...
Well, I mean, you know, when we talked to Blake last time with Megaplex, I think if this goes on much longer, it will start to affect other industries like the, you know, theatrical distribution, exhibitors, which is, you know, they're just coming off COVID and finally back on their feet. So I hope that they get... Help they get to talking.
My gut, honestly, they're getting really close to killing the golden goose, both of them. And that's, I fear that.
My gut tells me that they'll probably have something by the 1st of September, but before that, I don't know.
But I mean, at the end of the day, we still want content. We still need content.
Oh, yeah.
So they're going to have to figure something out. You know, whoever wins, we'll see.
Nobody wins in this situation.
Nobody wins.
Well, thank you, Virginia Pierce, the Utah Film Commissioner. Drove all the way up here to North Ogden.
Planning a weekend on the couch? Streaming your favorite movie or a new show? Andy and Steve sort through it all so you only binge the best. It's the Movie Show Streaming Reviews on KSL News Radio.
All right, Steve, time for the big streaming review. And then after that, we want to maybe run quick through some of the Emmy nominations this week.
Oh,
because
sure.
A lot of the streaming items that we've talked about garnered Emmy nominations. But true. As far as the big streaming review of the week, for me, the big streaming item is The After Party on Apple TV. Season 2 of The After Party. First season came out last year in about January. And it's essentially, it's a murder mystery. So if you like the movie Clue, the one with back in the late 80s with Tim Curry.
With 25 different endings.
Right. And it's kind of like that, or at least in tone. It's like that. It's kind of a murder mystery. You're laughing at the fact somebody is dead, which, you know, sometimes you feel a little guilty. But it's told through an investigation that's led by Tiffany Haddish.
Yeah.
And she's a detective. She comes to a scene. In the first season, it was the death of a singer, played by Dave Franco. And
which was hilarious.
It was
a high school reunion.
It was an after party from a high school reunion.
Right.
And so as Tiffany Haddish's Detective Danner interviews each person who was at the party, she envisions them telling their story as a different movie genre.
Yeah.
And it's hilarious. There was a musical one with Ben Schwartz, that was my favorite of all the episodes last season, was Ben Schwartz's musical episode. And then by the end, they solve the murder in the final episode.
Yeah. And this is like Lord and Miller. These guys know what they're doing.
Phil, the ones who did the Lego movie and who were excellent with comedy. So season 2 of The After Party is now at a wedding. We get two characters back from season 1, Sam Richardson and Zoe Chow. And then they're at Zoe Chow's sister's wedding. And the groom is played by Zach Woods, I think. Anyway, he's from The Office. He was Gabe on The Office.
Yeah, kind of nerdy.
Yes. And he was on, he's been in a bunch of different things. But at any rate, I can't give away too much because they've only dropped the first two episodes. I've been able to watch ahead, thankfully.
So they're going to do 2 and then 1-1-1?
Correct.
Okay.
But in just the first 5 episodes this season, we've had another rom-com. We've had an episode that was essentially a film noir with Paul Walter Hauser, who I think is one of the funniest actors in Hollywood today.
I love him. He got nominated for Blackbird.
He did, and that's not even a comedy role. That's like a psycho role.
Well, but he played a really funny serial killer.
And he's really excellent like that. And then there's one that's like an old Elizabethan era type movie episode. Oh. There's one where there's one that was essentially the Royal Tenenbaums in an episode at this wedding. So I really like The After Party. It is rated mature for mature audiences because of language and stuff. So unfortunately, it's not for everybody. But if you love laughing, I love The After Party.
Well, here's one I want to watch in the man cave. And it's called Quarterbacks. For those of you who are missing out on the NFL right now, Netflix has done a one that I guess it's on Wednesdays. Or did it all come out?
The whole thing, yeah. All 8 episodes are available.
So it's a Netflix documentary, and they focus on Patrick Mahomes, Kirk Cousins, and Mariota.
Right.
What's his first name?
Marcus Mariota.
Marcus Mariota. And how they struggle through their NFL careers. But, I mean, it's really good. And there's a lot of great action scenes. If you're missing out on little football right now, I know they have another football.
Yeah, we still got about 2 months before we actually get an NFL game. First week of September.
We're like 80 days away from
BYU. And preseason football sucks, so we don't want to watch any of that.
Yeah, nobody cares about that. But it's actually really, I mean, if you think about it, playing quarterback is probably the most difficult
position in all of sports.
Everyone wants to kill you on every single play.
And it was kind of cool to see into their personal lives, too. You get to meet their wives. You get to see what. And it goes through the whole 2022 season. Yeah. And, of course, if you paid any attention last year, one of those three had a really good 2022 season.
And, you know, nothing surprised me about Pat Mahomes because he's just amazing. But I really got a kick out of Kirk Cousins. I thought he was a sweetheart. And, you know, his love of his family.
And he had a great season with the Vikings till the end.
So I was pleasantly surprised by the quarterbacks.
All right. So The After Party and Quarterback are our two big streaming reviews of the week. We have some more that we'll try to get to before the end of the show just to give you a heads up.
It's going
to
be rapid fire.
It will be rapid fire for Full Circle and Survival of the Thickest and What We Do in the Show, things like that. So we'll take a break here at bottom of the hour for news, traffic, and weather. And when we come back, we are going to do the movie show.
Dude, you're in Doug territory.
That's why I'm finishing right now. News, go.
It's the KSL Movie Show.
The end is inevitable. Your kind is headed for extinction.
Maybe so, sir. But not today.
The week's big movie review. Movie news, games, and prizes. Here's Andy Farnsworth and Steve Sales.
Right now, we are being so unoffensive, we might as well be a Hallmark Christmas movie. You know what I'm saying?
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM at 1160 AM.
It is the infamous movie show coming to you from the Northern Wasatch Parade of Homes. We are in a beautiful home in North Ogden right now, and it's something that's absolutely worth your time, if for no other reason than know that, you know, if you knocked on somebody's door in a house this nice, they wouldn't let you in. And so now they have to let you in and walk through. Yeah. Right? So you can finally see what those beautiful houses from the outside look like on the inside.
Well, I've been coming to these Parade of Homes, the Northern Wasatch, for a long time. And this is definitely one of my favorite houses, no question.
So this would be, you'd use the app and vote for this one as
well, I'd have
favorite.
To go see four other houses has been suggested.
And please remember that the owner of this house is sitting right in front of you.
Well, he doesn't have to do anything because I love this house and I think he's a genius. So sit down, relax.
All right. We remind you to be part of the Movie Show Club. Text the word movie to 57500 to get updates on the movie show and heads up on different things, contests, be part of different contests, or just text
have
something
we
to
any
us.
Text?
We have actually said we have had one already. Sorry, I enjoyed Mission Impossible, but I could not follow what was going on all the time or hear the conversations. I feel for this person who's going to have to watch a Christopher Nolan movie next week.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so there's one. Let's see. Somebody's already got an answer to one of the questions on the movie show today, which is good because they haven't even heard the question, so they've already got an answer. We'll see if their answer is one that fits one of the questions. But we're going to do that next hour where we're going to have a Mission Impossible-themed telephone torture. But what we need to do right now, Steve, is our movie show top 10 sponsored by Call Climate Services.
Love it.
10, 9, the KSL Movie Show, Top 10.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
And of course, we want to include you, the listener, as part of our Movie Show Top 10. We have a new telephone line for listener reviews, a comment line, 801-575-7668. Write this down, or if you're in part of the Movie Show Club, we will text this number out to you so that you know, and you'll have a chance to call in and give us a 35-second review of a movie that you've seen recently that you'd like to have played during the Movie Show Top 10. And we actually have one already that we will play during the Top 10, assuming this movie's still in the Top 10. I think it will be.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, well, let's start then with number 10, which, let me find it.
Oh, actually, Ruby. It's not in the Top 10.
Oh, my goodness, it already dropped out. Well, we're going to play it anyway. Yeah. All right, Ruby Gilman, Teenage Kraken at number 10. I cannot believe it's already out of the top 10. It hasn't even been a month.
I know, that's not good. Kraken's made about $29 million worldwide. That's
That is not going to cut it for a DreamWorks animated movie.
Yeah, what are they? They got to be at least 200, 250, something like that.
Oh, I'm sure. With the cast they had, Jane Fonda. And, you know, it is what it is. It was enjoyable, fine. Yeah. My kids all enjoyed it, but... Was it one of my best animated movies of the year? Not even close.
It felt so familiar to so many other movies we've seen just like it.
The good news is your kids haven't seen all those movies. They'll probably be just fine. Your little ones especially.
That's true. Number nine,
The Little Mermaid. Still in the top 10.
It is. 291 domestic, 254 foreign. It's gone over. It's at 545, but, you know, that's a Disney movie that needs a little bit more love, and they'll hope. Hopefully it'll get it. Who knows?
How's it doing overseas compared to the U.S.?
It's got $254 million, so it's...
So it's a little less than what it's earned here.
Yeah, just a little.
Okay, that is interesting. I thought it might do better overseas even than it did in the States, but I guess not. Number eight, Transformers Rise of the Beasts, a movie that we both liked.
I know. After all the Transformer movies, like, nope, 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 nope. Oh, there's one.
And how's that doing foreign versus domestic?
148 domestic, 261 foreign, just went over 409.
People outside the U.S. love them, some Transformers.
They do. That's right. That's where the money is.
All right. Number seven, the comedy No Hard Feelings, starring Jennifer Lawrence.
I love her. I thought this was a very funny movie. 42 domestic, 27 foreign. It's about to hit $70 million.
Do comedy movies cost a lot to make?
They can, depending on who's in it.
Oh, that's true. The actor tag, on the price tag on that. Because I was going to say, is $42 million good for a comedy? If Jennifer Lawrence cost 20.
Yeah, and it was all location shooting, so it wasn't that much.
Okay. So set shooting is more expensive than location shooting.
Yep.
I would have thought it was the other way around. Interesting. All right, and then number six, the movie that we both thought was the worst thing we saw last week, Joyride.
Well, you're going to love this. $7 million domestic. 158,000.
Oh, I thought you were going to say million foreign. Oh, it didn't do well outside the U.S. either.
158,000 in the rest of the world. That's like $1 per country.
Ay, ay, ay.
Yeah. No joy for
Joyride. Not even a half a mil foreign. Wow. Joyride. All right. Well, number five, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. This movie continues to chug along.
This has done really well. 360 domestic, 285 foreign, for a total of 645.
Wow, Spider-Man. You ever wonder why Sony really is going to make a Spider-Man movie every 5 years?
Well, of course. This if they want to keep the
franchise. That's what I mean. Yeah. This is why, no matter how good or bad the movie is, this is what Spider-Man prints money. Number four, Elemental.
Elemental, yeah, it's, you know, it's
that's impressive that it's still at four.
It is. At 113 domestic, 144 foreign. It's at 258, but it costs like 300 to make, so they're still trying to get their money back here.
Well, and we also have, okay, so this maybe is the appropriate spot to fit it in. Opened the same day, The Flash.
Oh.
As Elemental, and The Flash has already dropped out of the top 10. But guess what? One of our listeners, and his name is, I believe it's David.
No, it's Dan.
Here's a review from our listener, Dan.
This is Dan. Went to see The Flash with my son. There were five of us total in the theater. I thought it was great. Everybody should go see it. Great blend of comedy, action, and drama. I loved Ezra Miller as The Flash. I thought he was terrific with the dual role. He forgot that it was the same actor. Anyway, go see The Flash.
Go see The Flash. And I agree with him on all of those points, and yet
I can't argue with
him. He said
it,
too. There was five other people in the theater with him. That's why it's out of the top 10.
Well, superhero fatigue, and I don't know. I don't know.
And Batman's in it, for crying out
loud. Well, DC doesn't get the love that Marvel gets.
No, that's true. All right, number three, and this one, very impressive numbers, Sound of Freedom.
Yeah, this has just done crazy numbers. $50 million, nothing foreign yet, but and it's a quality film. You know, I mean, I don't know anybody who doesn't, like, hey, I'm for child
trafficking. Right.
That's ridiculous. I thought Jim Caviezel did a great job. The production values are all there. This is a movie
to
see.
If you have a Facebook account, you've already had several people tell you to go see it.
I know. There's a lot of...
But I think that's good. I mean, this is the kind of stuff. Like, isn't that what you want? If you like something, tell everybody about it.
Yeah, but I hate to politicize something like this. I mean, this is something that is just so universally disturbing.
Ironically, I didn't feel like the film was that political in the actual watching of the film.
Yeah, no, it doesn't have any of that in there, and it's all outside noise.
Yeah. All right, number two, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny.
Well, okay, 129 domestic, 127 foreign. It's made 256. It cost 290 to make.
Yeah, and that was just to D.H. Harrison Ford, right? And then what was the rest of the cost?
I know, I couldn't help but stare at that face the whole time. I'm like, that looks like him. Kind of.
And number one, is this a surprise?
I told you,
at number
did I tell
one?
You,
you
last...
did say this. You did say this. Number one, Insidious, The Red Door.
Well, I think you're invested if you've watched this family go through the Insidious movies. This is the one that finally gives some hope, or at least some redemption. And so you're going to see the last chapter of something you've invested, you know, four other movies in.
Okay.
So 40 domestic, 32 foreign, $72 million. And horror movies are pretty cheap to produce, so.
And we all know what's going to be number one next week, so the only question will be, what is two through everything else?
Yeah, everything's backing up, that's for sure.
So that's the Movie Show Top 10. Remember, you can review any movie that you've seen that's, you know, theoretically going to be in the top 10 by calling 801-575.
Does it have to be even in the top 10?
I guess it doesn't, but it seems like that's a natural place
to play. Something recent.
But you got to be 35 seconds or less, so do just like Dan did. And tell us what you thought.
Don't call us and say, I think Sound of Music is a good movie.
I was going to say, that might be a little bit too old.
It's the world famous KSL Movie Show on KSL News Radio.
And that's because my brother in London listens to us online. Therefore, it is now world famous because it's at least someplace outside of the United States that hears us.
Chris did the silent whatever.
Andy Farnsworth and Steve Sales, final segment of this hour. We're coming to you from the Northern Wasatch Parade of Homes, a beautiful home in North Ogden. Steve, we're going to talk to Chris here in just a second, but we talk about a couple of quick movies that we watched on streaming this week.
Yeah.
Tell us about Unknown Killer Robots.
Well, it's going to make you nuts because now we've weaponized these robots with autonomous ability to kill and to choose who to kill. And, of course, this is all military, most of it.
Why didn't we have the Terminator sound effect ready? Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, this is going to freak you out. And the
is
military...
it named Skynet by any chance?
No, there's no Skynet. No, this is all real stuff. I mean, the idea is how do you tell an AI how to make a decision? Like, there's people, you know, standing in a square, and you know, you think they're Taliban or whatever.
Yeah,
and then there's some other people that are standing right next to them, and they've got, you know, it's going to be tough. But
everybody knows facial recognition software is flawless.
The technology is already here. We just have to decide how much of it we want to control and how much we think we can trust them to do the right thing, which scares the heck out of me. So it's called Unknown Killer Robots, and that's on Netflix.
Okay, and I saw Jewel Thief on Hulu, which is a documentary about a kid who, honestly, it would take me forever to describe the story. It's a kid who was born in Canada, grew up in Omaha, started stealing stuff from, like, Radio Shack in the 80s, was making $50,000 a month in stolen items. He'd steal it, forge a receipt, and go return it. So essentially,
that's
Radio
Shack.
That's
the worst Radio Shack manager ever.
Well, this is the 80s before they had a lot of. Oh. I would say they invented some anti-theft techniques based on this kid, but it goes from there. He eventually learns how to rob banks. He steals, like, a priceless diamond artifact from somewhere in Vienna, Austria. It escalates.
And he doesn't get caught?
Oh, no, he gets plenty. And then he just escapes custody. Like, and you look at him, he's the most unassuming thief. The Jewel Thief, it does have some language, but fascinating documentary. You're not going to believe this kid.
Where am I going to see that?
On Hulu.
Hulu, okay.
Well, Steve, we always want to invite people to be part of the Movie Show Club and text the word movie to 57500 to become part of the club. Then you'll automatically get any texts related to the movie show. This hour, we still have Telephone Torture. And we have an amazing, awesome interview with Mike Love of the Beach Boys, who's in town for the Deer Valley Music Festival. But Steve, somebody has already texted us, not the word movie, but is taking advantage of the text line 57500. You can text other things in, like this one. I never see Steve in the wild in person.
In the wild.
To thank him in person for recommending RRR.
Oh.
He says, I loved it so much.
It is the most over-the-top action film you could... Have you seen it?
I have not.
It's going to blow your mind. Every scene is...
It's a Bollywood movie, isn't it?
Well, not Bollywood, because it's action. There's no dancing.
Oh, the Bollywood includes
this
it.
Is like
okay. But it's out of India, right?
Tough dudes. I mean, you're not going to believe it. It is the most action movie of all time.
Okay.
Without a doubt.
Well... He's grateful that you're recommending.
Well, somebody told me about
it.
Now, RRR, if you haven't seen it, it'll knock your socks off.
All right. Well, it's time to review the other big movie of the week. I don't think anything quite lives up to... I mean, it's not going to be on equal footing with Mission Impossible. But
no. We
do have another sequel to a movie, and that is Bird Box Barcelona. That is Bird Box Barcelona.
These things take our fears and twist them.
What are you doing in Barcelona?
I found her. They've been traveling together, trying to find her mother. What about you? How did you get to us?
Lo que estamos viendo no son casos aislados.
With thousands of cases in Spain.
Cover your eyes and avoid visual contact.
So Bird Box Barcelona, the sequel to 2018's Bird Box that was on Netflix. That movie starred Sandra Bullock. This movie stars probably no one you've ever heard of.
Exactly. But it's in Barcelona.
As you heard in the clip.
So
that's how natives say it.
But it doesn't really matter that Sandra Bullock's not in it. It doesn't need
true.
Anybody famous. This is the same kind of creature. If you look at it, your eyes go goofy and you suddenly want to kill yourself.
Yep.
Which is a really horrible thing to think about, but it's so magnificent. You don't want to be on this earth anymore. And I thought it was kind of cool how they did the whole Spanish Catholic angel, you know, maybe it's actually angels that are, you know, well, I think they would probably handle it a little better than these guys.
You'd like to think.
Yeah, you're like, I don't...
Maybe you could finish your time on earth a little bit more peacefully than ending it suddenly.
Exactly. And there's also the twist with the seers, the ones that see.
Yes, if you'll recall from the first movie, people who are already crazy, or at least like they were in the mental institution, they can see the creatures without the urge to take their own life.
Right, and now they want to convert other people to do the same thing. So there's a little bit more of that in this movie, I thought, in a very interesting way, and I won't say how, but it I thought this did a really nice job of kind of going into that same genre, but doing it just with a little twist, putting it in Barcelona, and having the whole trolley scene, that whole scenario was brilliantly done.
And it leaves room for another future sequel.
Oh, sure.
I'm sure they're going to try to do this as much as possible. But sure. I actually hadn't seen the original Bird Box until about a week ago, and I thought, oh, I better watch Bird Box before I watch Bird Box Barcelona. So I kind of saw them pretty close together.
Yeah.
And it was interesting. This one I felt was like a little more gory than the first one. And but it was, you're right, there was enough unique tweaks to the story and an expansion on it. And let me tell you, there's a freaky character in this movie that like almost makes your skin crawl. Whoa. The one that is kind of the big bad that they end up fighting towards the end.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to say, because I don't want to give away their role early in part of the movie if you're going to watch it, but creepy.
Yeah,
creepy. So, it's well done. And again, if you're a fan of the first Bird Box, you'll probably definitely enjoy it. It is dubbed, but it's really hard to tell.
Well, you can see the lip difference a little bit. It didn't bother me that much, though.
So you gave it a?
I gave it a B plus.
I was in the about 2.5 star range.
Oh, you're a little lower.
I think I probably lean closer to 2.5. But this is the kind of horror I'm kind of okay with. Like.
Yeah.
Especially where there's like a mystery to be solved about it too. And we still haven't got all of the mystery solved. So I like that there's still more that could be told.
Yeah, agreed. But it's definitely worth seeing. It's a great little sequel.
And it's on Netflix, so anybody that's got Netflix can watch it immediately. It is rated R though, FYI. A lot of blood.
Yeah, there's a lot of body parts.
And kids in peril, that's something some people struggle with watching is children in peril. So, all right, so that's Bird Box Barcelona.
The Movie Show.
It ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
On KSL News Radio.
All right, Steve. We're going to do telephone torture. So here's the chance to call in 801-575-TALK. 801-575-8255. We're going to get those lines filled up. And while we wait for that to happen, Steve, why don't you go over the Emmy nominations, especially because there are a lot of series that we've talked about over on the movie show.
Yes, and I'll just hit some highlights. But the main four, Succession, 27 nods.
Did you like Succession?
I didn't even watch it.
Oh.
I was told that it was
surprisingly intriguing.
Mean.
It's very mean, but it's also really intriguing.
Okay, The Last of Us, 24 nominations. White Lotus, 23. Ted Lasso, 21. Those are the top four.
First, of all those shows, is Ted Lasso your favorite?
Yes, without question.
Okay. Did you Although like I'd White Lotus?
I didn't. I watched a little bit of it.
Okay.
First timers, Pedro Pascal and Bella Ramsey for The Last of Us. They got nominated.
Okay, cool.
Pedro, though, also got two other nominations. One for hosting Saturday Night Live.
He was pretty funny.
He was hilarious. And then he narrated a CNN doc on Patagonia. Okay. Jenna Ortega. Wednesday.
From Wednesday, okay.
She was nominated. Stephen Young, first nomination for Beef. Ali Wong has been nominated a couple times, but Beef was very popular. This one kind of cracked me up. Shrinking, this was the...
Yes, we were thinking Harrison Ford would get a nom.
Yeah, Jason Segel got a nod. Jessica Williams got a nod, but not Harrison Ford.
What?
This one cracks me up.
He's being penalized just because he is Harrison Ford, because every word he said on that show was hilarious.
He's brilliant on that show. This one cracked me up. Jury Duty got a nomination. This is Amazon Freevee, a show that people just, you know, it's like a throwaway show. And James Marsden, who's the only real character, also got nominated for Best Supporting Actor.
Okay.
Blackbird got four noms. Martin, this one also cracks me up. Only Murders in the Building, one nomination went to Martin Short, Steve Martin, and Selena Gomez left out.
I do like Martin Short and Only Murders, I have to say.
Bob Odenkirk, he's been nominated 5 times for Better Call Saul, no wins. The Show has been nominated 53 times, no wins for Better Call Saul.
Wow.
Can you believe that? Kerry Russell got nominated for The Diplomat.
The Show, so.
Sharon Horgan.
Oh, she was great in The Diplomat.
She was. Sharon Horgan from Bad Sisters, hilarious. Ted Lasso, this is interesting. Of the 8 leads and supporting actors, there's 8 of them. Only one other time in history where the 4 main people of a show were nominated for an Emmy. All 8 of them now have been nominated, including Phil Dunster, who played Jamie Tart, and Brett
Jamie
Goldstein.
Tart, Jamie Tart.
Phil and Roy were nominated this time around. So all 8 of the leads and supporting, which has never happened in history. And finally, Poker Face, 4 nominations, including Natasha Lyonne. This is her 5th nomination. No wins.
Poker Face and Ted Lasso are 2 of my guilty pleasures.
I love both those shows. So.
All right. So we've hopefully got phone lines filled, because we're going to have to rip through telephone torture pretty quick here so that Dan Bomas is not waiting for his newscast. All right, so let's do Telephone Tortures, sponsored by Larry H. Miller Megaplex Theaters.
The KSL Movie Show. Telephone Torture.
Okay, the theme is Mission Impossible. It means that all six of these clues refer to one of the Mission Impossible movies, not different Mission Impossible movies. All the clues should lead you to guess which Mission Impossible, a single Mission Impossible
movie. So you've
got to
know which one.
Yes. The questions will be about one of the movies, and they will get progressively. You can't just say Mission Impossible. Okay.
Can I say the number?
And I can say, well, yeah, but I'm hoping you'll say the name of the movie, because some of them, if it's one that is a number, then say the number. If it's one that's a name, say the name. Although we'll take either one. Okay. I'm taking too long to explain.
All right, go.
But let's, who's our first victim here? Hello, who's this?
Vahe,
are you ready?
Yes,
do you love Mission Impossible?
Sure.
Okay, here's the first question. Ethan gets his mission from a record store in this Mission Impossible movie. What is it?
Mission Impossible.
Ah, I'm sorry. Vahe, what does that make you?
Loser.
Oh, sorry.
I'm a loser.
All righty. Who's our next victim? Who's this?
Ethan,
what a perfectly appropriate name for this contest.
Is he serious?
Is your name really Ethan?
Or I think maybe we're hearing ourselves.
Okay, well, anyway, who's this?
Oh, this is Brett.
Oh, this is Brett. Okay, Brett, maybe we did hear an echo. Brett, welcome. Here's your question. Again, this first question, hopefully you listened to it. Here's the second question.
Because they add up to each other,
correct.
Right?
Okay. All of these are about the same movie.
Okay.
So if you're paying attention, maybe you'll know as we go along. Last time that Jeremy Renner appeared in the Mission Impossible series as William Brandt was in this movie.
Is that the Mission Impossible Fallout?
Fallout is incorrect. What does that make you?
I think I know.
Okay, thanks.
All right. Well, let's give him a loser clip.
Le who? The her.
Okay. Third question. Who's this? Hello, who's this? You're on Telephone Torture. Hello.
Maybe they're not.
They hung up. They were too scared. But remember, if you're smart, you're paying attention to these clues. Okay.
Yeah.
Who's this?
This is Michael.
Michael. Okay. You Mission Impossible guy?
Oh, well, I think.
Okay. Well, I guess we're about to find out. This clip comes from the Mission Impossible movie we are trying to get you to guess.
She tried to shoot me.
It doesn't make her a bad person.
I think it's the number 4 movie, but I can't think of the title.
Mission Impossible 4 is Mission Impossible 4 is Ghost Protocol, and that is incorrect.
Oh, hey.
Nice try, though. What does that make you?
A loser.
Sorry, bro.
Americans love a winner and will not tolerate a loser.
All right, this time I'm sure they're going to get this question. All right, who's this? Hello, who's this?
Bye.
Vahe's back. All right, Vahe. All right, man. Okay. We want to get some.
Yeah. Well, he's won in the last 90 days.
Oh, he's won in the last 90 days. Okay. All right. So who's this?
Ethan.
So there wasn't
Ethan.
Okay. We lost you last time. All right,
Ethan. You've got to get this.
You've got to get this because you're in the movies, right? All right. Here's question number 4. I'm going to give you two words. Yellow dress.
What?
This chapter introduced Rebecca Ferguson as MI6 agent Ilsa Faust, and she wore a stunning yellow dress.
What do you...
Mission Impossible, Rogue Nation.
That is correct.
Wow.
Well done.
Me the
of
yellow
course
dress
Ethan
did
would
it.
Get that. Oh, come on, Steve. That's the most... It's on the poster, for heaven's sake. She makes the most stunning entrance in that yellow dress
easier.
Going to the... Oh, no, that one was a dead giveaway. Was that not an easy question, Ethan?
What's the idiot one?
I knew it from the first one.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, okay. Here's the other questions. Famous for a scene where Tom Cruise is actually hanging on the outside of a plane as it takes off.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that one's pretty.
And then the final one is, look, there are 6 MI movies to choose from, and we've had 5 wrong guesses. What's the one that's left? All right. So congratulations, Ethan. Perfectly named for Mission Impossible quiz.
Nice win.
you win the Megaplex prize package, which is worth up to $2, and it is two movie tickets, a large popcorn, and two drinks. And if you'd like to go see an awesome movie at Megaplex Theaters, go to megaplextheaters.com. It's the easiest way to get tickets. Ethan, congratulations.
Thank you.
It's the KSL Movie Show.
It gave the audience feelings they weren't sure they should enjoy.
The week's big movie review, movie news, games, and prizes. Here's Andy Farnsworth and Steve Sales.
Slice of butter, melon on top of a big old pile of flapjacks.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Now I'm hungry.
Congratulations to Ethan, who won a fabulous prize worth up to dollars. The correct answer being Mission Impossible Rogue Nation. We're
from,
you
our
know
good
what?
Friends at the Megaplex,
from our good friends at the Larry H. Miller Megaplex.
Yeah,
Theaters.
We better play the Frank.
Look, we already got a text. You can't forego Frank. So before we do anything else, let's hear from one great crooner, old Blue Eyes himself, Frank Sinatra.
To the loser.
So put away your pitchforks.
Here's
and your to the loser. Torches.
All right, and we say thanks to everyone who called in to participate, and even those who didn't quite make it into the contest.
And by the way, thanks to the Megaplex Theaters.
I did say that.
I know, but I'm just telling you again.
Okay.
We love them. Their summer movie program going on, $10 for 10 movies.
It is a great way. I remember going to programs like that, and these theaters are way nicer than the Greenbrier in West Jordan where my feet stuck to the floor, even as a kid. All right. Larry H. Miller Megaplex Theaters, one of the greatest friends of the movie show. Yeah. We're coming to you live from the Northern Wasatch Parade of Homes. We'll be talking with Ben Hubbard here in just a minute. But, Steve, sorry, I got a stone all up there ready to turn on some microphones. But
he's ready to pounce.
Steve, we got a really cool opportunity. Instead of the worst thing I watched this week, I wanted to forego because we had an opportunity to do an interview with Mike Love of the Beach Boys.
Yeah, okay? You got to do that.
When you get an opportunity to talk to one of the Beach Boys, you take it.
You better hurry, too.
I know. We're going to have to play through the...
He's getting up there.
Oh, see, I wasn't going to say that about him. But he is 82 years old.
Okay, well...
But you know what? You won't be able to tell from talking to him. He is great, and you know what? He has some great memories of Utah that we'll talk about here. And so, we got the full interview posted on the movie show... podcast page where you can listen to the full 12-minute interview I did with him. But I wanted to just play a few snippets for those of you who are listening right now. First of all, since it's the movie show, I figured I'd ask him a movie-related question. So I asked him, I said, Mike, what's the best Beach Boys dog? Let's play that clip. And so I had a couple movie-related questions that I wanted to ask you, just kind of shoot off the cuff and just see what you think. So first of all, what would you consider to be, of all the documentaries and things about the Beach Boys, which one do you personally consider to be the most accurate or the one that you like the best?
There's one, two-night situation on ABC years ago. I mean, John Stamos was involved in the production of it. And so that was about as close as anything has come to, doing a documentary-style movie on the Beach Boys. But I don't think that the whole story has ever been told. It's just, a lot of people don't want to get into the Charlie Manson association with my cousin Dennis or my cousin Brian's drug use and all that kind of stuff. And so, but the true story about the Beach Boys is my cousin Brian and I got together and wrote some great songs together, which have lasted until this day. And people still love to hear them. And, songs like California Girls and I Get Around and Fun, Fun, Fun and Help Me, Rhonda and Good Vibrations. And Kokomo was 22 years after Good Vibrations it went to number one, 1988. Can you believe that?
I actually remember when that one hit number one.
That was in the movie Cocktail, the soundtrack to Cocktail, the movie with Tom Cruise.
So then I asked him, all right, you got a huge library of music. You've heard Beach Boys songs all over the place. So I asked him, which song did he thought was best used in a movie? Of all the movies that have used Beach Boys songs, which is the one when you watch it, you think, oh, that was perfect?
Probably 50 First Dates. Wouldn't it be nice,
and lead actor was saying, wouldn't it be nice like cruising along on a boat? So that's pretty nice. But gee, we've had so many great things like Jackie Chan and a couple of his movies. They were talking about California Girls, and they played California Girls in a couple of their movies. And then Shampoo had Wouldn't It Be Nice in it way back in the 60s with Warren Beatty. And just so many great movies. Good Morning Vietnam, Robin Williams, mentioned a couple of our songs. And American Graffiti had All Summer Long, one of our songs. And so we've been very fortunate to have our music placed in many a soundtrack.
I will say the first time I ever heard the song When I Grow Up to Be a Man was in Look Who's Talking.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Anyway, we've been very blessed to have many of our songs included in soundtracks, and I think it's kind of immortalized those songs and helped, keep the Beach Boys alive in the minds and hearts of people.
So I also asked him what was his favorite song to play. I mean, like, you can't pick between your kids, but which one does he like? And so here's what he said.
Kokomo was the biggest sing-along of all of our songs. And we have some big ones. Help Me Rhonda, everybody jumps in on the chorus and helps us out on that. And Fun, Fun, Fun's a big deal. And California Girls, wish they all could be California Girls. But I have to say Good Vibrations I'm probably most proud of in terms of the creativity of it at the time in the 60s was avant-garde in the 60s, and I think it still is avant-garde. It's so unique, and my cousin did a brilliant job on the track, and I came up with picking up Good Vibrations. She gave me the excitations, and I wrote all the lyrics. So my cousin Carl sang the lead, and I came up on the chorus. So that's one of the most incredible and historic songs, I think, in rock music.
Now, there's a great love for the Beach Boys in Utah, but there's also a great love for Utah by the Beach Boys.
Your best memory of playing a concert in Utah, what comes to mind?
Well, I'll tell you, when we first played our first show, it was behind a curtain at the Lagoon, and we were nervous because we thought, oh, my goodness, all these kids are, LDS, Mormons and stuff like that, and we had friends, and we actually played at some Mormon get-togethers, for youth nights and stuff. So we were a little nervous. We thought the audience would be so conservative, but they were into it big time. When that curtain opened and we started our music, I mean, it was just like Southern California. And couldn't help but notice there was a lot of cute girls there. So we were immediately big fans of Salt Lake City.
He was so funny and so gracious. He told us, if you want to listen to the full interview, the full 12-minute interview with Mike Love, go to the Movie Show podcast, and you can stream the 12-minute interview that he talks about how they wrote Fun, Fun, Fun here in Utah after a concert at Lagoon.
Really?
One of the funniest things. Could you imagine if the Beach Boys played your youth activity?
I know. You're like, oh, who are these guys? I don't know.
Well, Mike Love, he's in town for the Deer Valley Music Festival up in Park City. It's something you can go see tonight and tomorrow. He's really excited to play for Utah, and he was just such a gracious interview. And
there'll still be a lot of cute girls.
And there will probably still be a lot of cute girls. Steve, you know what I'm saying? Go up, see the Beach Boys tonight, Let up, put out the vibe, Jim Carrey style.
What are you talking
from
about?
From Dumb and Dumber?
Stop him.
All right. So that was our interview with Mike Love of the Beach Boys.
I noticed he didn't mention Love and Mercy, nothing that Brian Wilson did.
No, he talked about stuff his cousin Brian did. And he talks about some other things. I wanted to save some for the actual interview.
Like Pet Sounds and stuff like that.
He didn't talk about that. But I did ask him about the influence of the Beatles and their back and forth on that. And he talked about that a little bit, too, and how they – there's some really good stuff. I encourage you to go check out the interview.
I will.
The Movie Show.
Spock, you haven't changed a bit. You're just as warm and sociable as ever.
Nor have you, Doctor. As your continued predilection for irrelevancy demonstrates.
On KSL News Radio.
All right, final segment of the movie show. What a great one today. We got a chance to hear from Mike Love of the Beach Boys. What an awesome opportunity that was. You know, we talked about how much we loved. Well, what's a new segment that we've got? We don't have an open for this, but I think we're going to get one made.
Like you machine know, gun fire.
We're going to spend like $25 and get the announcer voice. But rapid fire, it's a segment we do in the final segment of the movie show where we go over all the stuff we talked about to give you, if you missed it earlier, just a really quick what did we think of each thing. So first of all, Steve, the big movie, Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1.
Absolutely, yes.
Absolutely, yes. You gave it an A.
An A.
I gave it four stars. I say it's a blast. It may be the best. It was certainly the most enjoyable movie I've seen this year so far.
I think Mission Impossible might be the best franchise, action franchise in history.
It's only gotten better somehow after the disaster that was number two to only get better.
Yeah, each time.
Really impressive.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, The Miracle Club.
Yes, I liked it. It's a little sassy. It's got a little edge, but it's great actors in Ireland.
And I thought it was there were some really emotional moments that I think people will connect with. Bird Box Barcelona?
Yes, great sequel. Doesn't have Sandra Bullock, but you don't need her. A whole new, you know, set of characters dealing with the same type of creatures. You can't look at them or they're going to make you kill yourself.
All right. Gray Matter, we didn't get a chance to go into in-depth. That's one that's coming to, that's on Max right now, streaming.
Yes. This is one of those movies about a mother and daughter that are, they're, what do they call them? Psionics? People that can telepathically do stuff.
Telekinetic kind of stuff.
Yeah, so it's a lot of that, and it's pretty good.
Okay, and then Jewel Thief, which was a documentary on Hulu, which I enjoyed because it's just a fantastic, unbelievable real story where you actually get to talk to the thief. On streaming, The After Party, I thought that was great follow-up to the first season that I enjoyed. Unknown Killer Robots.
You're going to freak out, but that's a yes, too.
Quarterback on Netflix, you get to follow three NFL quarterbacks through the 2022 season.
If you're missing
your football fix.
If you're missing your NFL, there it is.
All right. Full Circle on Max. We didn't talk about that, but it's a kind of a mystery series that stars Claire Danes and Timothy Oliphant.
Yeah, I love him.
And we was married to Dennis Quaid. There we go. No, it is Dennis Quaid. He wasn't married to Dennis Quaid. And it was solid, but you'll only get to watch the first two episodes
this week. It's a little slow starting, though. It doesn't. And Hijack. Ben mentioned Hijack.
That's
if you haven't watched
still
that.
Still ongoing. Hijack.
Secret Invasion's getting weird.
Yes, there was a big episode this week. Big episode this week where I can't say because you're going to have to watch it. So lots of still good things still to go. All right.